sun, sea, sand, the simple joy of warmth and water. We love the beach. It's as Australian as an old Midnight Oil instrumental. But bad things happen on beaches too. And I'm not talking about something abrasive wedged in your cozy. Dark things, deadly things, mysterious things. Dr. Liz Ellison is steeped in the dark side of the littoral. She is a lecturer in creative industries at the Central Queensland University. Her fascination with the sandy shore started with her PhD. It was a look at the beach in popular fiction and film. Liz, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
The beach, not as idyllic as we sometimes imagine.
Absolutely. I think we sometimes get very caught up in the idea of the beach on our postcards and in our tourism. But of course, when we actually go to visit the beach, it's not always as idyllic as we see it in the pictures.
Well, bad things happen on the beach. It has an underside.
That's right. I think sometimes we tend to forget that a little bit when we think about it in our minds, you know, because it's always a place where we go on holidays, we go to visit, but actually there is a lot of risk at the beach that we tend to sort of dismiss or sort of take for granted.
You talk about the idea of a badland beach. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's a theory, I suppose, that I've borrowed a little bit from another researcher, Ross Gibson, who just talks about the idea of the landscape being able to hold on to activity that's happened there. So it sort of has a memory to it. And I think we do see that sometimes in the beach. There's quite a long history of challenges, fear, pain, bad things that have happened on beaches really ever since sort of colonial arrival. And so there's a sense that perhaps that permeates through the landscape. So a good example of that, I think, for instance, is that idea of the lost child, you know, which can almost be traced back to sort of the Beaumont children vanishing in the 60s. And there's always sort of that underlying fear that, you know, that a child might be lost, whether drowned or vanished or snatched.
The Beaumont children, there's something in stories like that that is, it has that element of subverting, doesn't it? It's here we are in that context of the lovely sunny day by the seaside and something horrible has happened.
That's it. That was on Australia Day, and it was in the middle of the day, and I think that's part of what makes it so terrifying. The beach at night, sure, we can understand that maybe that's a little bit untoward, but something during the middle of the day like that, I mean, I was brought up, my mum used to take me to the beach and would always go, those children were snatched, you know, which is well before my time, but she still thought that was something worth thinking about when she went to the beach.
For people, people might, it's a while ago, the Beaumont kids, and of course never found. I mean, tell us the quick story there.
So they were presumably kidnapped from the beach, the three Beaumont children, on Australia Day in 1966. And they were perhaps seen in the company of a blonde man. That was all that was ever reported in the newspaper, and no trace of them was ever found.
Now, you mentioned the settlement, the arrival of white Australians, and of course that first took place on a beach.
Absolutely. That's right. So the real location there, sometimes that can be quite celebrated, certainly in some of our very colonial artwork, for instance. But of course, it really was a quite violent arrival. And I think there's some questions around that ongoing identity that we have of the beach now that is sort of laid on the foundations of quite a violent arrival scene.
Yeah, I mean, the beach is as a place of confrontation, of death, of fighting.
Absolutely. And it still permeates, I think, too, because we still now look at the beach almost as a type of barrier or as a boundary. You know, we talk a lot about Australia being an island continent, but is it working as a fence? You know, we used to close the beaches during the war. I mean, you know, there's quite iconic photos of Bondi Beach being closed during World War II when we thought it was quite vulnerable. And so we do have this tendency, I think, to see a real sort of sanctuary of the beach, but, you know, forget the fact that that's how white Australia arrived here.
And it's a place, of course, of accident and apprehension. We have drownings. We have those critters that live out there that occasionally like to chew on us.
Absolutely. And I think that's another really good point, because we actually, again, the risks of shark attack, for instance, is quite small. But the risk of drowning is a little bit higher than we tend to think, you know, particularly, for instance, some of the research that's come out of the Surf Lifesaving Association. They talk about the fact that young men tend to think that they're a little bit better at identifying rips in the water than they actually are. So there is a little bit more of a risk than we think. Whereas, of course, sharks, we're terrified. You know, there's so much media coverage, for instance, around every shark attack, but it's actually very rare.
But I wonder if that points to, you know, sort of an undertone of anxiety about our relationship with the beach and the water. Maybe we protest too much about how much we love it.
That's true. There's something very calming about the beach, I suppose. That almost comes a little bit from our some of that colonial history, the sort of seaside identity of England. But of course, our beaches are quite rough, can be quite dangerous. You know, we have to really stay between the flags in order to be safe.
Yes, the English seaside is a far more sort of innocent space in a way than our place full of wild animals and crazy sort of...
That's right. And people used to actually be sort of recommended to go to the seaside, whereas when that happened in Australia, they initially started bathing during dusk and dawn, which is prime shark time. So it wasn't the safest place to be.
Dinner is served.
That's right.
Liz Ellison is talking us through the dark side of the Australian beach. And we've mentioned the Beaumonts, Liz, but plenty of other incidents which are quite iconic in their way. Tell us a few of those.
Well, I mean, one of the perhaps most infamous in a way is when our Prime Minister Harold Holt went for a swim and vanished and
never came
back. The
submarine incident, yes.
That's right, which I think is always, I think it was Bill Bryson who sort of talks about the fact that, you know, only Australia could lose a Prime Minister. And I think that's quite an interesting idea.
And that was a good example of that thing you mentioned before, of that sort of overconfidence.
Yes, definitely. But of course, there have been some sort of sadder incidents. You might have seen the recent fiction series around Dark Harbour about some of the gay gang murders that was happening down in Sydney during the sort of 80s, which was really indicative of quite an awful time and really changed the way that we think about Bondi Beach, I think, in that period.
Steve Irwin, of course.
Of course.
A sad encounter with a marine creature.
That's right. And again, that awful idea of it being quite accidental and really unforeseen for someone who really embraced that part of the world.
In literature, it's sort of interesting. I mean, you've looked at the beach in popular culture. Do we struggle with this complexity, do you think? Do we manage to represent that?
I think to a certain degree, we see it a little bit more in literature, that where there's an acceptance of this complexity. I mean, obviously the most iconic Australian writer about the beach is Tim Winton.
Who's often underwater.
Absolutely. And we see a lot, you know, he really plays with some of these ideas around death or the liminal space, you know, being very close to death, for instance, in Breath. You know, that's a theme that comes through the book. I mean, he's been able to be very successful when writing about the beach, whereas we haven't necessarily seen that for a lot of other authors. Robert Drew is another one, of course, both Western Australian, which is interesting, considering that the majority of us are on the eastern coast or the sort of southeastern coast.
That is an interesting thing, the West Australian relationship with the beach. It seems slightly different to that on the eastern coast. The eastern coast, perhaps a little bit more civilised.
I think there is a little bit of a sense that the eastern beaches can be quite urbanised, almost extensions of the suburb or the city. And whilst there's a little bit of that in Western Australia, of course, around Perth, there is this sense that they're quite wild and isolated beaches, I think, on that side of the continent.
Which leads you to wonder whether there, I mean, as much as we talk about the beach in Australia, whether there is in fact a sort of a unified sense of what that means. What that is.
That's right. I think that's some of the danger sometimes, is when we start to think about the beach as a really monolithic image, which is what we see in, of course, tourism and postcards and that type of thing. But actually, you know, there's so many individual beaches and all of them function really differently. You know, some of them have esplanades and playgrounds and then others are almost inaccessible.
And they can be focuses for social movement. Cronulla, for example.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. That was some really iconic images, perhaps not the ones we want to be iconic, but very iconic images that came out of that, which was all around that idea, again, of it sort of started because of the lifesaver, the image of the lifesaver, which really has a history in the Anzac spirit. So this idea that lifesavers work on the beach often as volunteers, they're working for the greater good, they're athletic, they're strong, often very masculine. We have very few female lifesavers that are represented. Like, for instance, you know, Bondi Rescue, there's very few female lifesavers in that show.
Yeah, there's a real crossover, isn't there? It's interesting, the lifesaver, the Anzac, those are really comparable figures.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's something I think that's quite fascinating. Although, of course, we're now starting to see that a lot of lifesavers are, of course, getting good recognition and pay and a very sort of sporting aesthetic, I suppose, that goes along with it.
So you're writing on this idea, the beach darkness?
Yes. I've been asked to come and talk at the Sunshine Coast International Readers and Writers Festival. I'm on a lovely panel that's sort of talking a little bit about surf and beach culture alongside some other authors and photographers, which I think would be really interesting.
Yeah, I wonder what this, I mean, it's a prism, isn't it? It's a way into looking at our broader cultural social history.
I think so. It's sometimes very easy for us to think that the beach isn't a very serious topic of discussion because it is about pleasure and leisure and going, you know, for holidays and vacations. But actually, I think it really is a bit of a microcosm of our broader society. It certainly tells us a lot about who we are as a country.
What's our darkest beach?
Ooh, it's a tricky one. I think we tend to see some of our darkest beaches emerging in our most urban beaches. And that might be things like Surfers Paradise, Bondi Beach, for instance.
Is the culture shifting? I mean, it's almost, you know, that surf lifesaver culture, that sort of idea of the Sydney beach, it feels a very kind of Federation-y 1930s sort of idea.
Absolutely, yes. And I think we're starting to see too, just with that sort of the urban spread, if you like, that we're seeing a lot of people visiting beaches much more broadly around the country, not quite so targeted into some of those key areas like Surfers Paradise, for instance.
Yeah, Liz, thank you. A different insight. We appreciate you taking us there.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Liz Ellison, a lecturer in creative industries, Central Queensland University, and a woman somewhat steeped in the dark side of the beach.